Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Well, this morning, as we continue on with our worship service today, join me in John's Gospel. And I will begin reading with verse 14 today, John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 14. We're going to continue in our look at the great priestly prayer of Jesus, and we're going to look at the portion of it today where he really takes his disciples and he takes them and he turns them over to God. Now that is something really special for you and I, because he is not just praying for those that are there with him. He is praying for all of the followers that ever were, that are, and that ever will be. And that includes you and I. So what we're going to see today are the words of Jesus as he lifts you up to God and as he prays certain things for you and into your life. Well, without any further delay, let's go to God's Word and join me in verse 14 this morning. Jesus says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast seen me into the world, even though I have also sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Join me in a word of prayer as we continue our service. Heavenly Father and Lord God, thank you for the word that you have given today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would take it. You would apply it to every heart and every life as only you see fit. You know the needs, the deepest needs in our heart today. And I ask that you would just bathe us in your word. I ask that you would take our attention away from whatever it is that may be hindering us today. Whatever it is that may be binding us down. Whatever it is that may be laying heavy upon our hearts this morning. And Lord, I ask that you would take it and you would hide it behind the cross and that you would allow your word to speak volumes into our life today. Take your word, hide it in our hearts and in our lives. May your word not return into your void, but may it accomplish everything that you purposed it to do. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, Amen. All right. This morning as we open, I want to tell you a little story. A story about an American tourist who was in Paris. And while they were there, they bought a necklace from one of these little souvenir shops, a little cheap necklace. And when they started bringing it home, they got to New York. And they started to bring it through customs. And customs laid a real heavy tax on them, bringing it in. The owner, the person that bought it was, my goodness, what's going on? It's just a souvenir. What makes it so special? Well, he didn't really know. He paid the tax and they went on and he took it to an appraisal shop, a jewelry store, if you will. The guy looked up, the jeweler looked up out of his little magnifying glass and he said, I'll give you $25,000 for it. Well, now for me, that would have ended the conversation. But he said, well, what makes it so special? He told him to look into the little viewer. And right there under that viewer was a inscription from Napoleon to Josephine. He had gotten his hands on a necklace that somewhere down the line had came from the lineage of Napoleon Bonaparte and Josephine, and it was tied to a very famous person, and that's what gave it its value. It was all about who it was identified with. Well, as Christians, you and I are identified with probably the most important and most significant person that has ever walked the face of the earth. Jesus Christ. The Christian can rejoice today. We can rejoice that our value, our worth, comes from God. Comes from God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God incarnate in the flesh. We are saved by grace through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are a child of God. There is eternal value in our existence today because of Jesus, not because of who we are, not because of what we have accomplished, not because of the titles that we may hold or anything of that nature. We may impress other people in the world with those things. But when it comes to God, God is impressed with one thing. God is impressed with looking upon our life, seeing our sins covered with the blood of Jesus, and knowing that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So in an age and in a day when man is searching for his past and searching for his potential today in the world that we live in, spinning our wheels, and we're looking for that next investment. We're looking for that next step up the ladder. We're looking for that next great opportunity. We're looking for that next personal relationship that can open up a door and give us the privilege of becoming more influential and more significant. For the Christian, we don't need that. We can rejoice in the truth of the Word of God and in knowing that our identity is found in Jesus Christ. When you leave today, leave understanding and knowing that your identity is found in Jesus Christ. When you leave today, know that when you walk out of here and when you walk into the world, and it doesn't matter what's going on out there. I know it's easy to get bogged down in these things. It's easy to get really worried and troubled, and the world just seems to be caving in on top of you. It's easy to get pushed into a corner. But in reality, all we have to do is look to Jesus, because everything that's falling apart around us is nothing but just material things that man has invented to make man feel better. And Jesus is our Lord and is our Savior. He lives within our heart. As we read the passage this morning, verses 14 through 19, we see repeated the word sanctified or sanctified. Jesus even applied it to himself, didn't he? And then he went on to apply it to his disciples. And again, that includes you and I today. Of course, now we know sanctified means to be set apart for something. And when we're reading that and we're hearing it from God's Word, we know that we're being set apart for something that God has a purpose for, right? Jesus wouldn't say that he was going to sanctify himself if he wasn't going to set himself apart to do something for God. And Jesus wouldn't say that we are sanctified if we were not being set aside to do something for God. That something is what I want us to think about this morning. That something is what I want you to think about in your heart and in your mind. What is God setting me apart to do? And not only what, Not only what, but how is God setting me apart to do it? Yeah, how? To know the what of something is one thing, but to know the how of it. To know what God is doing in your life, we can come back from Scripture and we can get a pretty good idea of what God is wanting in our life. But how is God wanting to get us there? How is God wanting us to step up and be a part? And what is God wanting to work with in our life? How are the things that are shaping our life daily focusing and working into God's plan? Because if we are sanctified and we are set apart to do His work, if we are set apart to accomplish what He wants, if we are set apart by the blood of Jesus, then how is all of the trouble, all of the disturbances, all of the problems, all of the headaches and heartaches of life, how do all of that fit in? Well, we're going to examine that to a level. There's time doesn't permit to get into the real big exegesis of it, where we're drawing out everything of it and laying it all out. We would be here for quite a while to do that. But we can touch on a few things this morning. Well, when we're thinking about how the Holy Spirit transforms us and sanctifies us and how that happens and works and what it works to in our life, we have to realize a disciple of Christ is being preserved for a purpose. When you were saved for eternity. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it was there for an eternity. And you will be in heaven for an eternity. Now that doesn't mean you have always lived a sinless, perfect, beautiful, sanctified life. As a matter of fact, whether you want to admit it or not this morning, you're going to have to come to the realization that on a daily basis you fail God. Now, I'm not talking about failing your wife or your husband. I'm not talking about failing your children. I'm not talking about failing your church. I'm not talking about failing your employer. I'm talking about failing God. You can hit the nail on the head with every one of those other things. And you can walk around and you can go to bed at night and feeling pretty doggone good about yourself. Man, I hit today out of the park. Somewhere along the way, you failed God. But that doesn't change the purpose that you've been preserved for. And that purpose can be summed up, the what of that purpose can be summed up in one thing, a testimony to the world. Your life is a testimony to the world. Now, what about the how? How is my life a testimony of the world? How does my life speak to the world? Well, first of all, let's go all the way back to the date that you were saved. Now, you may not remember that date, but God does. Maybe you were a small child when you were saved, and that's fine. Maybe you were an adult when you were saved, and that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, you were saved from the condemnation of sin. Now, it wasn't a particular sin that you committed, because a particular sin will not send you to hell. Remember what I've said before. You're not a sinner because you sin, but you sin because you are a sinner. Now, think about that. You might catch that one pretty quick, and you might need to catch it on tomorrow's train, but you think about it, you'll catch it. We have a sin nature. We inherited it. It didn't come from mama and daddy. It came from Adam and Eve, but we inherited it. Because we inherited it, we needed Christ. Because we needed Christ, we had to be saved. When we got saved, there was a change that took place in our life. That change that took place in our life is a change that will speak to someone outside of this church. That change that took place in your life will speak to someone else out here in the world. Someone else at work. It will speak to someone at school. It will speak to someone in the shopping centers. It'll speak to someone wherever you may find yourself in life, whatever location you find yourself in, among whatever group of people you find yourself in, your testimony of your salvation will have a purpose of touching someone's heart and someone's life, but you've got to live it and you've got to share it. You can't be afraid to tell people about Jesus. That doesn't mean you quote all of the Scripture, learn all the Scripture you can learn, memorize all the Scripture that your mind will hold. But it's not about sharing Scripture. It's about sharing experience. Jesus is an experience. Jesus is an experience that goes with you your entire life. And because of that experience, because of the failures that you have, where He helped you back up, because of the times that you've wandered away and you've served Him from a distance maybe, because of all of those things taking place in life, and Jesus is still there. Jesus is still waiting. He says, I've still got my purpose for you, and everything that's happening in your life that I'm allowing in your life is adding to that purpose. We think about all of the faults, the failures, all of the ways that we might have wandered away from God and then come back to Him again. Everything that was allowed to take place in our life builds upon our testimony, and building upon our testimony adds to our purpose. You have got an eternal heavenly purpose. And that purpose is summed up in your life. That's how you arrive at it. God saved you to a testimony, to share that testimony, and to share with people the experience of Jesus in your life. Not only are you preserved for a purpose, but you are prepared for a witness. Now, a witness in the Bible means pretty much the same thing a witness in the court system does. If you are called to go to court, maybe you're not on trial for anything, but you've witnessed something. You've been a part, you've been close enough to something where your experience with it is going to make a difference, or they think it's going to make a difference. Well, they're going to call you up there, and they're going to ask you to take a pledge. They're going to ask you to put your hand on the Bible, and they're going to ask you to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. At least that's what I remember seeing on the last Andy Griffith show that I watched, when they swore somebody in. And they're going to tell their story. As a born-again child of God, you are the only witness to your salvation other than Jesus Christ. Now, you may... Well, now, wait a minute now, preacher. I walked down the aisle and there was 100 people down there, and they were all gathered around me and they were all praying with me. Good. They saw, they are a witness to you walking down the aisle. They are a witness to you kneeling in the altar. They are a witness to you praying. But as far as your salvation goes, the only witness there is to your salvation is you and Jesus. You and Jesus. You're prepared to be a witness. You're prepared to be a witness, and you're prepared to tell people and show people the saving power of God and what He can actually do. In verse 15, when Jesus said, I pray not that you should send them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. The evil is not to keep anyone from doing anything. It's not about that. Keep them from evil is to keep them from being a witness and a testimony to that evil. It is a word of power and authority in your salvation. It is a word of what God has done. The witness that you are. The witness to your salvation and what's happened in your life. Have you ever sat back and gave any real thought to your salvation? Have you ever sat back and gave any real concern and in-depth meditation to it as to what Jesus done and what was accomplished in your life and what you carry around with you every day? You get up in the morning, you carry the presence of Jesus. You go to bed at night, you carry the presence of Jesus. You get up and you have a testimony of being able to tell people what's happened in your life. You are the only living witness to the greatest miracle that's ever taken place in your life. And that is the miracle of your heart being born again into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're the only living witness to that. Jesus cried out to God, and he said, I want you to keep them. Hold on to them. Make it real in their heart. Make it real in their life. And that's what I want in your life this morning. I want you to see and grasp what Jesus wanted in this prayer for you and what it meant in your life and the significance of it that's in your life. Not only are we preserved to a purpose and we're prepared for a witness, but we are provided with truth. Truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus. We are provided with the revelation of God's Word. We hear a lot today about reading and studying our Bible. We hear a lot today about what goes into understanding and interpreting the Word of God. We hear a lot today about things that go on about follow this process or follow this process or read this book or do this or do that or do the other. And you'll have a good understanding and interpretation of the Word of God. The Bible says that we have that revelation of God's Word already imparted to us in our heart. It is already given to us. Now that doesn't mean that it doesn't have to be developed, because it does. When we are talking about understanding the truth of the Word of God, and we're talking about that Word of God making a difference in our life, so that our life makes a difference in someone else's life, it does take development. That's why we are in church this morning. We are learning about the Word of God. We are studying the Word of God. We are listening to the Word of God so that it can be developed in our lives, so that it can take a hold in our lives and it can make a difference in our life. If we want to really develop the Word of God, and we're serious about developing the Word of God, the first thing we need to be doing is reading the Word of God. We can listen to all of the preachers on the radio, or on television, or on the internet that we want to listen to. But until we sit down with the Word of God, and until we crack it open, and until we spend time in it, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will make a difference in our life, and will reveal to us what God is saying in His Word, then we're not making a dedicated effort to learn to have the truth revealed. Are we letting God develop us? Are we really letting God develop us the way He wants us to develop? We are identified with the most famous person on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ. We're identified with Him because of our relationship with Him and through Him to God. But are we being developed? Are we growing? Are we growing? Are we moving forward? Are we taking what God has given us, and are we doing anything with it? Spiritually speaking, are we doing anything with it? We often read and hear things about growth and about numbers and about all of these other things that take place, and churches are measured by numbers as to whether they are successful or not. Pastors are measured by numbers as to whether they are successful or not. Let me clue you in on something from God's Word about numbers. Numbers don't change until there is change on the inside that draws the numbers in. If we're not growing and developing spiritually as Christians, and if we're not crying out and bringing ourselves to God in the way He wants us to bring ourselves to Him, if we're not growing, we're not going to be the magnet that's going to draw others in to hear and see and experience the Word of God. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. That is exactly what that means. If Jesus isn't being lifted up in our life, if Jesus isn't being exalted in our life, if our purpose is not being sent out in the testimony that we have, if our witness is not being sent out as prepared to show the glory of God in our life, if the truth of the Word of God is not being provided through our lives on a daily basis, then what does the world have to see? That there's no difference. In our passage, Jesus says that He has given them God's Word and the world has hated them. The world and the Word cannot coexist. I don't care what the bumper stickers say. The Word of God and the world cannot coexist. They are opposites. They are going to always be opposites. They have always been an opposite. The world is nothing more than an image that is portrayed by the devil himself in order to lure people away from God. The Word of God is the truth that is proclaimed through His disciples, through His Christians, through His church, through His body, that draws others to Christ. That is our purpose that we are preserved through. That purpose has a prepared witness, and that prepared witness comes with a provided truth. So as we close this morning, I want to ask if our song leaders can come and give us a hymn of invitation, if that's something possible this morning, that we can do that. But as we close, we have to remember that we too often think of salvation as the end of an eternal struggle. Well, in one way, I guess you could sum it up as that, but in a much larger way, it's really just the beginning. Salvation is really the means which leads us to an end. It is the means which establishes us on the road to eternal life. And as we walk that road on this side of eternity, we are building ourselves a portfolio, a resume, if you will, of what's going to happen when we get to eternity, of how we're going to be judged, of the rewards we're going to receive, of the impact we're going to have. How many people are going to walk up to us in eternity and say, thank you. Thank you for doing what you've done. Thank you for being who you were. Thank you for being the testimony that you were, because it is because of what I saw in you that I accepted Christ. Yes. Yes, it is a means to an end, and that end is eternal life. The means, however, is the life that we travel to get there. Along life's pathway, we're going to encounter many obstacles. Some of you have already encountered many obstacles. Many have yet to encounter the obstacles that lay before us. We don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us know what tomorrow holds. We think we've already been devastated. As I said earlier about the hurricane victims, those folks on that little island, they didn't have much. They were happy. They had their families. They had their jobs. They were where God put them. They were happy. And suddenly, in the moment, just a moment of time, they were picked up. They were moved off that island, moved away from their homes. Their homes were destroyed. Everything they had was gone, and the opportunity to return back is a question. But they still have God. Those of them that were saved, still have God. We don't understand how our preparation is going to be dealt with. We don't understand what we're going to be facing as God prepares us for the things that are ahead. But we do have to answer a few questions. We do have to answer a few things in our life. Are we prepared this morning? Are we prepared to be what God has saved us to be? We are preserved. But are we prepared to give that testimony? Are we prepared to be that witness? Are we anchored in God's Word? Are we even making an effort to be anchored in God's Word? Are we making an effort in any type of dedication? And I'm not trying to browbeat anyone. I'm just asking the questions that I'm hoping you're asking yourself and asking God and the Holy Spirit to reveal to you this morning. Reveal to me, am I prepared? Reveal to me. Am I as anchored as you want me to be? God, reveal to me. Am I spending the time in your Word that you want me to spend? Am I putting things in front of you that I shouldn't be putting in front of you? Notice the Lord tells us that the Word is the truth. How are we going to handle it? How are we going to handle all of these things? Or better ask, how do these things handle us? Does the world handle us on a daily basis? Does the world dictate to us what we will do, what we won't do, how we will do it, how we won't do it? Or does the Word dictate to us how we will? How we want. God knows the answer to that question in our lives this morning, and the Holy Spirit is revealing it to us as well. So if you're not saved this morning, you realize that you're following a path that leads to destruction. If you're not saved this morning, you're not going to inherit salvation. You're not going to buy salvation. You're not going to earn salvation. If you're not saved this morning, the only way you're going to get it is just come to Jesus and ask for it. That's all you got to do, is come to Jesus and ask. And He will give that free gift of salvation. If you are saved, but you're not allowing God and His Word to be the anchor of your life today, then you're not taking full advantage of the identification you have with Christ. You're not taking full advantage of the union that you have with Him. And is that really where you want to be? Do you really want to be in that condition? Do you really want to be spending life like that? Knowing that you're not identified with Christ in the way that He wants you to be identified with Him? Knowing that the union that you have with Christ is not as strong as He wants it to be? Is that really where you want to be this morning? God doesn't want you there. The Holy Spirit is telling you that He doesn't want you there. Why would you want to be there? You and God know where you stand. You can have that union, that close union with Christ. You can have that walk. You can have that purpose. You can have that union, that walk with God. You can have that closeness to the truth of the Word of God. If you're willing to make that commitment, if you're willing to step out today and tell God, yes, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. You're right. I'm not. You're right, God. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And I want to get there. It won't happen in one trip to the altar. And it won't happen with just coming. You'll get the fences mended between you and God. But then you'll start that process. That daily process of getting up and being set apart, sanctified, set apart for that work of God and grow in that work. And let it move in your heart, move in your life, and let it get you closer to God. And open the Bible and read it. You won't understand everything you read the first time you read it. You pray over it. You pray over it. You come back to it. You pray some more and you come back to it. And you pray some more. You ask God to reveal it to you. And as you stay in His Word, it stays with you. And it will happen. This morning, the words of life are set before us. And the opportunity to have them work in our life, the opportunity to have them lead us, guide us, and direct us sits before us all this morning. So this morning, as we sing, as these ladies have put together a song for us today, as we move on in our service, as God is dealing with your heart this morning, would you please come? Would you please let Him deal with your heart? Would you please let Him have His way in your life today? Ladies.